Good morning. Notices for this week. On Monday, there'll be a trustees meeting. That's this coming Monday. Trustees meeting, 7 o'clock in the Jubilee Hall. Wednesday, on the 11th of October, prayer meeting, 8 o'clock, will be on Zoom. On Thursday, Dave's running the membership course. That's this Thursday at 7:30 in the choir vestry. The church cafe is at 10 o'clock in the church hall, and also the craft group will meet in the Jubilee Hall at the same time. Sunday services next week will be taken by Roger Gadsby and Worship Warriors, 11 o'clock in the Jubilee. Okay, now I'd like to welcome Sandra this morning to take to lead our worship.
Thank you. Thank you, Rod. Good morning. That's better. Oh, there we go. Oh, even I can hear myself. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. It's good to be in God's house together and to be able to come and sing his praise and know his presence with us today. For those who don't know me, I'm Sandra Fall. I'm from Bedworth, and I became a Christian when I was 16 years old at Bedworth Baptist Church on Coventry Road. I've been married to Ian Fall, you may know his name, for 36 years, and we have two grown-up boys called Daniel and Adam, and we have six grandchildren. So, born and brought up in Bedworth, but then God called Ian into the ministry, and we moved to Lincolnshire in 2001. We were there for just under 5 years, and then we moved to Rushton in Northamptonshire, where we were there for 16 years, and it was amazing. It was so good. Thank you, Carol. It's lovely to see you as well.
You too.
I've worked in the NHS for 36 years. I was a GP receptionist in Holbrooks, in Bulkington, and then in Sleaford when we moved. When we moved to Rushton, I worked for medical records in the outpatients department of Kettering Hospital. And then I was a GP secretary, medical secretary, for 8 years. At the end of 2019, Ian started to talk about the fact that we needed to start praying and thinking about whether we were going to renew our contract at the mission. I was like, of course we will. We're going to stay here forever. We've been there for, at that point, 13 years. It's like, why would we move? We were settled and whatever. But God had other ideas. He spoke very clearly to me that I knew we needed to move. And he brought Ian into a new ministry out of church leadership, and he now works for a Christian charity called Flame International. They go into countries that have suffered war, terror and genocide, and they bring God's love and forgiveness and the healing, and they see people's lives transformed that have gone through such dire atrocities. It's incredible. And the teaching that they take abroad is still relevant for us here in the West. Even though we've probably not gone through anything as dramatic as those people have, we still have things that happen in our lives. And so Flame also run discipleship courses and healing days. And that's what Ian does. He will be going abroad next year. So he's in Exmouth this weekend. We were in Bigbury-on-Sea last weekend, but he's in Exmouth this weekend, teaching down there and doing the service this morning. So, of course, when God called us to move, I had to leave my lovely surgery that I worked in as a medical secretary and all my team. And actually, by the time I left, all my team bar one had left, because we just were a family together. It was amazing. And I will tell you more about my story as I go through the morning. But God has provided me with the most incredible job I could ever think of. I'm still a medical secretary at a surgery in Kenilworth, and that was a biggie. So I can't drive half an hour to work every day through the city. But it's fine, it's not a problem. I work 2 days from home and 2 days in the surgery, and I feel so appreciated and valued there, and the whole team are wonderful, and the doctors and the nurses, it's lovely. So even though I didn't really want to do it at the beginning, I can see God has put things in place and has organised it all. He's so good, he's so trustworthy. Even when we can't see the plan, you know, he's so good. Shall we pray? Father God, we come this morning to again worship you and adore you, to give you our praise. Lord, to open our hearts to you. Lord, you are just so amazing and so good, so righteous and so holy, so majestic. You are awesome, Lord. You are more than we could ever imagine or understand. And yet the bit that we know about you is just incredible. Help us to see you more and to know you more. And Lord, thank you that you have a plan for each of our lives. Thank you that you know each one of us. You know where we're at, what's been going on, what's on our minds. And Lord, you know the steps that we are to take, the future that you have for us. Help us to trust you and walk in those ways. Lord, may all that we do this morning, our worship and the reading, the talking, and our fellowship afterwards over coffee, may it all be glorifying to you. Lord, stir our hearts through the power of your Spirit. And Lord, as you stir our hearts, if there are things within us that we need to confess, Lord, we just do that now in the quiet. So we don't want those things to get in the way and be a barrier. Thank you, Jesus, that because you died for us, we can be forgiven and we can be put right with God, that we can know him. Thank you that you walk with us each and every day. And as you promised, pour out your Spirit, Lord, in this place, in the depths of our souls, in our whole being, that we would open our hearts completely to you and learn to love you more. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's worship God together in song as we sing number 520, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord.
Thank you.
you heard of the word Trinity before? Do we all know what it is? I like interaction, I'm sorry. We're all here in church together. We're all a part of us. That better, sorry. We're all here in church together. We're all here to worship God. We're all equal. I'm nothing special just because I'm stood here. So it's our whole participation is worship to God. So Trinity. Three in one. Excellent. Okay, wonderful. Do you know that you are a sort of human Trinity? Did you know that? The Bible tells us that we are body, soul, and spirit. Yep, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. So we're body, soul, and spirit. So we're just going to have a look at each one of those, only a very brief look. What's our body? Flesh, bones, organs, even those bits inside that do their job all the time that we don't know about. Yeah? Our physical body is our power pack. It's the vehicle that we, the person we are, work out of. Yeah? Our bodies are all amazing, incredible, marvellous creations of God, and they are all unique to each one of us. No one has the same bodies. We all have our own, don't we? And they're all different. Yeah. So what's our spirit? Our spirit is our conscience, our intuition, and our personal power. When we invite Jesus into our lives, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes and connects with our spirit and we come alive inside. It's through our spirit that we worship God, that we communicate with him and how he speaks to us. And it's in our spirit that we're convicted of sin. And sin damages us and makes a barrier between us and God. And that's why we need to confess and forgive a lot. So that's our body and our spirit. In 2 Corinthians 7 it says, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So what about our soul? I don't suppose we talk much about our souls, do we? Have you ever thought about your soul before? Yeah? Our soul is the uniqueness that is you, the individual. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So the mind, obviously, is where we think, the thoughts that influence us on a daily basis. Our will, that's where we make the choices that we do. And we have free will because God created us with a free will. So we are free to make our own choices. And emotions, some that feel good and some that feel bad. Yeah, there are a whole mix of emotions, aren't there? Our soul combines all our thoughts, our choices and feelings into one harmonious human being, hopefully. And it also conveys our personality, our values and our sense of humour. So the soul is the person that you are inside your body, the vehicle. Does that make sense? Yeah? That song that we sang says, tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. God is great, isn't he? Yeah. Yep. He never changes. But sometimes we have to choose in our mind and our will to believe that and proclaim it, because sometimes life's difficult and we can get distracted with earthly things, can't we? Yeah. So we have to choose. And it has to be a willful decision that we worship God sometimes. Sometimes it's just so easy because we feel so close to him. When we choose to worship God and adore him with our spirit, it helps us on the inside to feel brighter and stronger and then we're in a better place to make wise decisions and deal with all that life throws at us. Just try it. Sometimes when you're facing something you don't know what to do or you're a bit of a struggle, worship God with your spirit. Then hopefully when we do that, I find sometimes the things that are consuming me and overwhelming me don't seem so big, because God is even bigger and greater and more powerful than those things that distract me and try and deflect me from worshipping him. So we are amazingly intricate beings with a body, soul and a spirit, a sort of human trinity. Yeah, that makes sense? We're going to talk a bit more about our soul later. So this is where the children were going to go out, and I was going to pray for them, but there aren't any here, are there? No, that's fine. Shall we take up the offering? Father, we thank you for all the many gifts and blessings that you pour on us day by day. Help us to always be grateful and thankful and to remember that they come from you. And Lord, for this token of money that has been brought, Lord, we pray that you would bless that and use it, that you would give the people here in this place wisdom to know how to spend this, to further your kingdom, that more people might know about how great you are and your love for them. Amen. Amen. We're now going to sing some songs together as an act of worship to God. But just don't just stand up and sing them and like the tunes. Think of the words that you're singing and think of how it feels from your heart. And remember who you're worshipping. So we're just going to sing two songs together: How Deep the Father's Love for Us and King of Kings, Majesty. Okay?
Thank you.
Let's now come to God in prayer. We're going to spend a few moments praying for our world, our country, for others and ourselves. And God loves each one of us and he listens to all our prayers. And we can all pray at the same time and he can hear each one of them. So I'm just going to mention a few things and leave some space. So please feel free, if you want to pray out loud for something that's on your heart, or pray quietly in your heart, and then after a few moments I'll move us on to the next topic. So let's think about our world and bring our world before God. There are so many things happening, and we heard yesterday of the war in Israel and Gaza, how that's escalated. There's the earthquake in Afghanistan. There's been floods in lots of countries, South Africa, Brazil, India, US, Spain, Greece. And of course, there's always the aftermath of devastations. So let's pray for those things now. Let's pray for our country, for our king, the government, those in authority, the NHS, the food banks that are well needed at the moment. Let's pray for those things and anything else that's on your heart. Let's pray for others that we know Perhaps some are in financial difficulties. Perhaps some are struggling with their mental health. Perhaps some are sick or bereaved. Your family and friends. And now for you, what is it that you want God to help you with or to touch in your life? We are allowed to pray for ourselves. Father God, we thank you that you hear our prayers. You know the cries of our hearts. And Lord, we don't understand some of the things that happen in different countries and in other people's lives or even in our own lives, but we know that we can trust you. Help us to bring these situations and people and ourselves before you more and more. That we would beseech you for your touch in these situations. Because, Lord, you have all the power and authority and the greatness, Lord, and you love each and every person. Lord, move, we pray, in these situations that we've lifted to you and in these people and those that we love. And even when we don't get the answer we want, Lord, help us to trust you that you know the right answer that we need. Thank you. Amen. Our reading is from Psalm 23 today. The Lord, it's probably a very familiar psalm to you, but just let's see what God wants to draw out of it to us today. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Psalm 23, very familiar, as I said, probably. But it's a great encouragement to us, I think. It was written by David, who had an incredible wealth of experience as a shepherd. He knew where to take his sheep for the green pasture. He knew where to take them for the quiet streams and still water so that they could drink. And he guided them and protected them. And David likens his knowledge and experience of being a good shepherd to his experience of Father God and how he deals with us, his children, who are very much like sheep, stubborn and go astray. He writes how God provides rest, nourishment, how he guides and protects us and directs us and walks with us and how he blesses us. David, in this psalm, lays out God's intention toward us as our shepherd. And Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd in John 10:14. And he is our shepherd today, and he still wants the best for us. Do you believe that? Yes. Even though Psalm 23 was written such a long time ago, it's still relevant as we go through life and with its different circumstances and situations that we face. It gives comfort and hope in a world of turmoil and disaster. It's an ongoing promise from God for every day. And this morning, I want us to focus mainly on verse 3. He restores my soul. You may be aware that that was the theme that we as the Women of Action have taken around the country over the last 2 years since lockdown. But don't worry, you're not going to get the two-hour session. I've adapted and changed it. I just feel it's such an important thing that we understand about our soul and that God wants to restore our souls. It's his idea and it's his desire. And if God wants to restore our souls, there must be something wrong with them. And David recognised this approximately 3,000 years ago when he wrote the psalm. So it's not a new thing. Restore means to re-establish, to bring back, to return or repair or renovate to a former place or condition. And for us to be restored means for us to be as God intended when he formed man and woman in the Garden of Eden. To be in perfect relationship with God, to walk and live together in harmony with others, and to be at peace in the depth of our souls. We talked earlier about what our soul is. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And 3 John 2 says, I pray you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Our soul matters, and it matters to God. Soul is mentioned in 42 books of the Bible, and it occurs approximately 432 times. I think it's quite important. And Google says, we always used to say the Oxford Dictionary, didn't we? Now it's Google. I use Google so much at work. Google says, the soul is the immaterial aspect or essence of a human being, that which confers individuality and humanity, often considered to be synonymous with the mind or the self. It's a pretty good explanation, isn't it? Dallas Willard said, what is running your life at any given moment is your soul. The soul is that aspect of your whole being that integrates and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. It's the life centre of human beings. Yeah? And John Ortberg says, we are the keeper of our soul and we need to tend it. So why does our soul need restoring? Psalm 42 verse 5 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? God created mankind in his image, and therefore we are good. He intended for us to be at one with him, to live in peace and harmony with everyone, and to be at peace in our inner being. But sin came on the scene and changed all that. Man gave the authority that God had given him over to Satan, and as a consequence of that, we are now drawn to sin through the weakness of our humanity. Sin wheedles its way into our lives every day in many guises. It wounds our soul, and then we can't live in peace with ourselves, with others, or with God, and we have an unsettledness within us. Sometimes, as we live life and go about our daily business, we can be unaware that our soul is not at peace. So remembering that our soul is our mind, our will, and emotions, what could be the cause of an unsettled soul within us that we need restoring from? I have a few suggestions, and you may think of others. See what you think to my list. So with our mind, what about those thoughts that you may have had that you wouldn't want anyone else to know about? or thoughts that you know would not be good for you or others if they were to happen in real life? Or those negative thoughts that we've had about other people? He's a, she deserves. Who do they think they are? Those sorts of thoughts. There are also thoughts that are inward pointing when we're selfish and put ourselves at the centre. Or what about those times when we think bad things about ourselves? I'm not good enough. I can't. I'm useless. They're not good thoughts, are they, some of those? Sometimes we can get stuck or caught up in a set way of thinking, and this constrains us and ties us up in knots. So what about our will? What do we do with our will? Choices that we have made to satisfy our physical being that may not have been good for us. Or when we've done something in the spur of the moment that turned out not to be the best decision we could have made. What about those choices or decisions that we made deliberately, knowing they were not helpful to someone else or even hurt others? There are also people who are willful, and they impose their will on others and impact the very depths of that other person's soul. This could be through any type of abuse, physical, mental, emotional, or sexual. I think we need to be careful with the choices we make, don't we? So what about emotions? There are a whole raft of emotions that we experience daily, aren't there? Loads. Some are helpful and nice. Joy, happiness, contentment, peace, laughter. They're nice ones, aren't they? And then there are those that are not so nice and not so helpful. Disappointment, fear, anger, distress, grief, worry, pain, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness. Sometimes emotions can overwhelm us and we feel like we're in a dark pit and on our own. And other times, emotions can get the better of us and we say or do things that we later regret. Emotions can impact us in a big way. And God created us with emotions, but which ones reflect Him? It's worth thinking about as we go through our days. We said earlier, our soul is the uniqueness that is you. Your soul is you. It's all the things that we think, decide, and feel. So our soul can be wounded enormously through our thoughts, our decisions, and our feelings, as you've seen through that list that I've just said, and you may have thought of other things. Our soul can also be wounded from external abuse, such as a sharp word or a negative comment, or abuse or trauma, or an accident or the loss of a loved one. Life in general, with its busyness and demands and pressures, takes its toll on our souls. And sometimes we're not aware of the damage that's being done to our soul deep down inside as we live life each day. What then are the consequences of a wounded soul? Sometimes when our soul is wounded by ourselves or by others, we may try to just brush it off and think it's okay, it doesn't matter, when really deep down our soul took a hit and it is wounded. Sometimes we can put a mask on. You heard that expression before? We can put a mask on and pretend to be someone on the outside that we're not on the inside, and we feel the mask protects us and can even give us that boost of confidence that we need to keep going, and it also hides the pain that we feel deep down. We may go so far as to put a protective shell around ourselves or a wall around our hearts, consciously or not, to stop people getting too close and to protect ourselves from further hurt or pain. When our soul is wounded, we can try to satisfy ourselves with earthly substances. We turn to the things of the flesh rather than the spirit, which can then form bad habits and even addictions. And then we can end up in a continual cycle of wounding ourselves over and over. Sometimes, when our soul is wounded, we get so used to the pain that it causes deep down that we learn to live with it without ever facing up to it and allowing God to heal us. And sometimes we just don't know that we're wounded as we limp along in our lives. Life can affect our soul in so many ways, good or bad. But when we experience the negative stuff, it does cause pain and it affects us deep down. And then there can be a sense of unease or unsettledness or irritation inside of us. And this can affect the way that we perceive ourselves, the way that we speak and feel about ourselves and others, and the way we choose to react and interact with others and God. Damage to our soul skews us up. I like that word, skews. I don't know if I've made it up. But do you know what I mean? It just churns us up inside. But then that churning that's going on inside spills out into whatever we're doing, and it stops us from being who we're meant to be, and we slowly die inside, or at least decay. Whatever the nature of our wounded soul, whether it's our own doing or a response to what's happened to us, it affects our whole being. Our minds become distorted, our will becomes enslaved, our emotions are upset, our body is dissatisfied, our spirit disengages, and our soul disintegrates. And the problem with soul wounds is very similar to an actual physical wound that you would have on your body. It can fester and get worse, can't it, if it's not treated and cleaned up and healed properly. That's why our soul needs restoring. Does that make sense? Lovely, you're still with me. That's good. I like interaction. So, our souls need restoring, and now we can see why, some of the reasons why they need restoring. How does God restore our souls? In Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 2, it says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners." This was a prophecy about the coming Messiah. And Jesus read this scripture from the scroll in the synagogue at the beginning of his ministry. He was proclaiming that this was his mission and purpose. We can read that in Luke 4. And this is still his intent toward us today. Matthew 12:20 says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out." God is about the business of restoring our souls, and he is the only one that can do it. And he loves us so much, he made a way for us to be free from those things that tie us up in knots and mess us up on the inside. When Jesus died on the cross in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve for our sins, he rose 3 days later, conquering sin, darkness, and death, which means they can't have a permanent hold on us anymore. Jesus paid the price, and he has made it possible for us to be restored in our inner being with others and with God. So how do we receive this restoration in our souls? If God's made the way, don't you want to just claim that and have that freedom and restoration within you? I believe it's all about confession, repentance, and forgiveness. If there are things that we are doing ourselves that are causing unrest and darkness and destruction in our soul, whether it be deliberate or unintentional, we must confess, repent, and ask for forgiveness. It's worth noting that sometimes we have to forgive ourselves too. That's a biggie. Sometimes some people get stuck because they can't forgive themselves, but Jesus has paid the price. We don't have to hold on to that. If we're holding on to it, we're saying that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't good enough. We can be forgiven, and we need to forgive ourselves. And then we allow God to cleanse us and heal us and fill us with His Holy Spirit and direct us in a new way of living. If we are disturbed in our souls because of trauma of any kind, we can acknowledge it before God. We can forgive the perpetrator if we can. If we find that hard, our journey is where we start by asking God to help us to be willing to forgive that person. That's a biggie sometimes, isn't it? But as I said, Jesus has paid the price, so we forgive. And then we intentionally give that whole situation and everything about it and all our feelings to God. We lay them at the foot of the cross, and then we allow His healing to come in and His restoration into our body, soul, and spirit. What if we've allowed unhealthy things to take root and influence us or distract us from resting with God? We still confess. We repent. That means we say we're sorry and we turn around from it. We turn away from that thing that's distracting us. And then we receive His forgiveness and we let the Holy Spirit flood our being and fill that space. Forgiveness is such a big part of healing for our souls. We have found, as I've found, as I've been going around with Ian with Flame International, that there are a lot of hurting people because they haven't forgiven. Unforgiveness is such a big thing that takes hold of us. And when we ask God to help us to forgive, and when we choose to forgive, you can just know that God has taken it. The judgment is His. It's not ours. The judgment is God's. And then we can know that healing and that restoration. Did you know that physical problems in our bodies can be a result of unforgiveness? I'll tell you a quick story, shall I? Very quick, we're running out of time. In 2019, I fell on the ice. I was skating with my surgery team building. I fell on the ice. The management had slowly let more and more school children groups in because it was Christmas time. And the ice got filled, and I was going around, and it was all fine. And then this little boy stopped in front of me. I fell on my coccyx, fell black. And it was like, I couldn't move. I was soaking in all the cold water, knew I needed to get up. I then, from 2019, had pain in my coccyx and couldn't sit down very well. And I would like sit for 20 minutes and then have to stand up. On these, I'd sit for 10, if that. And I'd have to stand up. And I have a standing desk at work, and I was struggling everywhere. But through some teaching that I heard, I realised that I needed to forgive that little boy who stood out in front of me. I needed to forgive the management of the ice rink for letting more and more people in. And I need to forgive myself for thinking that at my age, I could easily skate around an ice rink. Because people had prayed for me before for healing, it never happened. And when I did those things, when I forgave, I had an immediate sense of the pain in my coccyx coming out, and I've been able to sit since. Incredible. Matthew Henry says, "Though God may suffer His people to fall into sin, He will not suffer them to lie still in it." When we acknowledge our sins and our wounds before God, it's like inviting Him to get rid of the junk that's inside of us. To get rid of all that bad stuff and the things that separate us from Him. And He will answer, He will cleanse, and He will heal, and He will restore. Once, many years ago, probably about 25, 26 years ago, God gave me a picture of my heart. And there were little boxes in my heart, and I was at the bottom. And I couldn't get out of my heart because there was all these boxes and all this rubbish in the way. And I know that was a picture God gave me of my heart and all the things that were in my life that I needed to get rid of so that I could be the person He made me to be. Last March, 2022, seems a long time ago now, God showed me another picture of my heart. We were in the throes of leaving Rushton and moving back to Bedworth. I knew that God had spoken directly to us about the future, and this was his plan and purpose, but it hurt. It hurt me deep down inside. It broke my heart, and my soul was struggling with all that I was having to go through. I didn't want to leave Rushton. I didn't want to come back to Bedworth. I didn't want to leave my job, my family, our son and grandchildren. I didn't want to leave our friends, and I didn't want to leave our church family. But I knew this was what God was calling us to, and when God speaks, you obey, because it's always better to be in the will of God. And so last March, God gave me a picture, another picture of my heart, but this time it was in pieces. It was like a 3D picture, and it was in pieces. And I was trying to hold them together with some tape, but there were gaps, and some were in the wrong place, and it was very fragile and delicate, and that's how my heart felt at that time. I could see God's hands under my heart then, and he said to me, I heard it very clearly, my hands are big enough to hold all the pieces of your heart. You just need to let go and stop trying to fix it on your own. I was like, wow. And I broke. The tears flooded. All the emotion that I was holding inside came out. The fear of leaving what was, moving into the new. The deep sadness and grief and hurt and pain that was trapped inside me. And the loss that I felt of having to leave everything. I let God have the pieces of my broken heart because I knew it was in a safe place, better in his hands than in mine. And I knew he could restore it and put it back together. And then I saw Father God sweep me up with his big, huge, gentle arm, and he held me on his chest with my head on his shoulder. And I knew at that moment he would hold me as long as it took for him to mend my heart and restore my soul. His arm never gets weary. He never gets impatient, and he will hold on to us as long as it takes. That was last March. That was the beginning of God restoring my soul, because there was more to come that summer after we'd moved. And also over time, as we've settled back into Bedworth and got into a new way of life. It's big upheaval, big change. But God has walked with me through it and has restored my soul. Restoration of our souls is a journey. Some things can be healed and restored quickly. Sometimes things take a bit longer. But we take one step at a time with God through confession, repentance, and forgiveness. You know, through the move, I even had to forgive God for moving us. I didn't think that we'd need to, but I did. I had to forgive God. Matthew 16:26 says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul?" And Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God made us with a requirement for rest. And as we read in Psalm 23, he leads us to the quiet waters and the green pastures. And we read many times in the Gospels how Jesus went to a quiet place to be with his Father. When resting in God allows him to restore our soul, and it's a necessity we can't afford to go without. It's like drinking deeply before we dehydrate. I had some flowers delivered through the post once, and they were all wilted. And I thought, oh dear. But I put them in the water and they perked up and they looked beautiful. And that's like us. When we rest with God, then he will revive us and restore us. When we rest with him and allow him to do this, our minds will be transformed. Our will be surrendered. Our emotions will be pure. Our body will be retrained and empowered. Our spirit will be connected with God, and our soul will be restored. Doesn't that sound good? I heard someone once say, a rested soul is the secret to what Jesus called the easy yoke. And we'll let Matthew Henry have the last word. I like Matthew Henry. He says, God makes his saints to lie down. He gives them quiet and contentment in their own minds, Whatever their lot is, their souls dwell at ease in him, and that makes every pasture green. Amen. Shall we just pray for a moment, just spend a few moments in quiet? Psalm 62 verse 1 says, my soul finds rest in God alone. Are there things that you need to bring before God? Has his spirit stirred something deep down in you? There's no need to go digging. God will highlight stuff to us when he knows we're ready to deal with it. So in just these few moments of quiet, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants to restore in your soul. If it's of your own doing, acknowledge it before God, confess and repent, and receive forgiveness and be filled with the Spirit. If it's something external that's caused your wound, lay it at the foot of the cross and give it to Jesus and forgive. And in every situation, ask Father God to minister to your soul deep down inside. Receive his cleansing and his restoration, and then be filled with his Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you know all about us. You know those things on the inside that no one else knows. Thank you that we can trust you with those things that have hurt or wounded us. And for those things that we've done ourselves, we say sorry. Lord, would you bring your healing and restoration into our lives? Lord, but not just today, every day. Lord, may we be aware of those things that wound us and bring them straight to you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you fill us and you restore us. Be with us each. Lord, as we live life, may we know your presence with us. Amen. We're going to worship God with our last song, 1030, The Lord's My Shepherd. Thank you. If what I've spoken about this morning has raised something in you and you'd like to come speak with me and I'll pray with you gladly, just come and speak to me, okay? But may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Amen.